I'm Joy Manning, a freelance writer focused on food and health.
And I'm Marisa McClellan, creator of Food in Jars.
Welcome to Local Mouthful. We're here to talk shop with obsessed home cooks everywhere. This week, we're talking about chickpea and dumpling soup, eggless egg salad, and Veganuary. But first, let's chat about something we read this week. And also, again, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
We made it. We're recording this on New Year's Day.
Amazing.
So, and you guys will hear it on Wednesday, whatever that, I don't know what date that is, but, you know, first week in January. So we did it. We're on the other side. And not to take us back into the past, but I did want to talk about this article I read. You know, Kroger is the largest supermarket chain in the United States, and they released the top 10 trending items of 2020. And it was based on sales growth year over year, right? So these are the things that sold the most more. And I couldn't believe what they were.
I know, it's really surprising.
I'll just take a second to say them. Ready?
Yep.
Zero calorie soft drinks, four cheese Mexican blend shredded cheese, flavored potato chips, Sauvignon Blanc wine. Okay, I can believe that one. Heavy whipping cream. Also that one. Fresh burger patties, artisan bread and restaurant style buns, bulk individual coffee pods. That's terrible. Party size bag of variety chocolate and Black Forest ham.
Yeah, it's a real weird list to me.
What did you make of it?
Well, it certainly skews. I mean, it feels like the pandemic in some ways. You know, I feel like the bulk individual coffee pods, all the people who used to get coffee at work or, you know, from their office kitchens or on their way to work are looking for an easy way to make coffee at home. So that
right,
one
but
seems...
You're hardly pressed for time. So like, why not just make a pot of coffee, I guess, is my
people are lazy.
Question.
That's, you know.
I understand the cheese. Well, actually, again, you can grate your own cheese if you are not commuting, you know, potato chips, yes, of course. Heavy whipping cream, sure. Bread, you know, carbs are comforting.
And bread's been big this year. And so if you're not baking sourdough at home, you're buying sort of fancy bread from the grocery store.
I'm surprised not to see ice cream on here. Maybe that's because I personally ate so much ice cream. Is there anything that you're surprised is not here?
No, I mean, I'm never surprised by these lists because they are so weird, typically. Certainly not surprised by zero calorie soft drinks. You know, people like sparkling water has been really big. I imagine that like people are turning to soda for comfort. Like that one doesn't surprise me.
Also, people are not drinking their drinks out in the world as they might have been like at the vending machine or from the corner deli or whatever.
Exactly.
It's the number one category. So, and that could also reflect like panic buying when you go and like you stock up on everything because your zero calorie soft drinks don't typically go bad.
Yeah.
So you can just stockpile them.
Well, and fresh burger patties doesn't surprise me because, you know, if you were someone who like once a week went out to lunch with their coworkers and got a burger and now you're not doing that, maybe the solution to that is, you know, getting a pre-made mixed up burger from a grocery store like that. I could see that.
Okay. And chocolate. Who doesn't want more chocolate? I do. Black Forest ham. That's kind of a weird one. But I guess, again, that's people eating lunch at home.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yeah, it is an interesting list. It's a little bit perplexing, but oh well.
Well, it's hard to understand what people do in general. Like, and I think that you and I have very different shopping and eating habits than, say, like, most people that are not interested in food and cooking.
Yeah.
You know? And we forget that there are lots of those people. And that's probably most people, actually.
Well,
Local Mouthful people.
Well,
but
it's funny because I can recognize a lot of Scott in this list, even though it's not – I don't recognize myself in this list as much. I can certainly recognize, you know, his comfort foods and stuff like that because he had a sort of a more, you know, conventional childhood of food. And so that's really colored how he, you know, seeks comfort in food now. And like, yeah. I can see Scott in this list, so I understand it.
Well, we'll post a link, as always. Check it out if you want to know what the world was eating last year. And, you know, let's just hope for a more natural foods based list next year. And for the love of God, stop buying those individual coffee pods. That really hurts me. Anyway, I'll tell you something that I had for dinner.
Tell me.
Recently. It all time is like even more of a blur than usual. But I made this chickpea and dumpling soup, and the name is kind of misleading because what it actually is like a nutritional yeast soup.
Interesting.
I found the recipe, actually, and I'm going to talk about this later, but I maintain this Pinterest board for like vegan recipes that I want to try. And then I never visit, like I'll be just on the internet as we are, and I'll see something that looks good and I'll think, oh, I want to think about making that later. And so I'll pin it. And then like, I basically never go back to this Pinterest board to review it. So it was like getting to be a long time since we'd been to the grocery store. We didn't really have a lot of like fresh stuff. I didn't know what to make. And so I was like, I guess I'm going to go over this Pinterest board finally. And I saw that I had saved this recipe. I don't even remember seeing it before, but like my past self flagged it. And what it basically is a broth made out of basically just nutritional yeast. Like the recipe has you steeping a lot of nutritional yeast. I can't remember exactly how much. I'll post a link to the recipe, but it could be as like much as a half cup.
Wow.
With water, and you like make a nutritional yeast tea with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like a fanatic about nutritional yeast. I didn't want, oh, and they have you throw away the sediment. So like you steep it in hot water and then you pour the broth into your soup and then the sediment of the nutritional yeast you discard. I was like, no way am I discarding nutritional yeast.
Yeah.
So I ground it to like a super fine powder in my mortar and pestle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I steeped it that way and just used it. And it gave me like a very rich, cloudy, chicken stocky type broth that I really super, super loved. And then from there, it's just basically a chicken and dumpling soup, except a chickpea and dumpling. It takes its inspiration from chicken and dumplings.
Yeah.
But it's chickpeas, and I use just whole cooked chickpeas from my 1,000-pound stash. And chickpea dumplings, which are interesting and delicious if you've never had them. It's usually just like a combination of chickpea flour and like, I think actually the recipe called for yogurt, and I use some soy milk and vinegar or whatever, lemon juice, and then herbs and salt, and you form them into tiny dumplings, and then you just poach them in the broth. It had a lot of dill in it. It had some celery. And I just thought it was, like, so much better than I expected it to be and, like, so much more than the sum of its parts. This is a big discovery.
It sounds great. Did you do, like, carrots and onions and stuff in the broth, too? Like
onions, yes. Carrots, no. It didn't call for carrots, and I didn't have them. It was really just, like, sautéed onions and I can't remember, maybe one clove of garlic. The dumplings took maybe 10 minutes to come together. The broth was ready almost instantly. The whole thing was really fast, and it just had a hardcore chicken soup vibes, you know, which I really appreciated. I actually wish I had a bowl right now to have for lunch.
It sounds great.
But yeah, I just was like, this is so, I would have never thought of this. This is genius. And I can definitely give a little nutritional yeast booster shot to all future stocks now.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You drizzle it with olive oil at the end. The only thing I didn't have that I was wishing I had was fresh dill.
Yeah.
Next time.
When you shop to make it specifically, you can get those things.
Yeah. So do you love nutritional yeast? Do you always have it around?
I always have it around. I do love it. I don't think I love it quite as much as you do, but I like to have it. It's actually in the thing I'm going to talk about next, but I also make.
Really? We have a very vegan episode today.
It is. So. And I am not vegan. I'm not going vegan, friends, but I definitely, love, a meatless meal. And especially this time of year, there's this recipe. It's on my blog. It's called Bieler broth, Bieler. It's not really broth. It's this soup that my mom started making in the 70s. It was from some health pamphlet, and it's a ton of vegetables pureed together with nutritional yeast. It's like broccoli and parsley and celery, and you can put whatever you've got in it. And it turns out to be this just very vegetal rich soup. And it's really nice this time of year when you feel like you want to get all of those vegetables into your body and kind of reset. You know, I'm not someone who believes in cleanses or anything like that, but I do believe that sometimes it's nice to have a little, you know, dietary reset after the holidays. So
mine's not starting until Monday, though.
Yeah. But so that Bela broth has a lot of nutritional yeast in it as a way of making it, you know, giving it a little bit of heartiness and flavor. And it's good.
Sounds good to me. And so is it also in the next dish that you're going to tell us about?
It is. So what I want to talk about now is homemade tofu pate, eggless egg salad. Basically, growing up in Portland, there's this product called Toby's Tofu Pate or Toby's Tofu Spread.
We've talked about this.
And it's something I love and have loved throughout every phase of my life. You know, my mom started buying it when I was like 9 when we moved to Portland.
Do they carry it everywhere or is it regional?
It's regional. So you can't get it beyond sort of the West Coast. And I've made it on my own a couple times. There's this recipe on a website called Bowen Appetite. And she is also sort of a recovering Pacific Northwesterner who misses tofu pate. And so tried to recreate the recipe. And so I have used hers and I've kind of riffed on it a little bit. For one thing, her recipe only uses 8 ounces of tofu. And my feeling is, I don't want to open a package of tofu and not just use the whole block. So I've kind of increased it. She uses fresh minced onion and I found that it made it too pungent. And so I use dried minced onion instead and kind of let it rehydrate in the tofu pate. I like to make it a day before I want to eat it so that kind of the flavors meld. It's got some celery, some parsley. I use a little garlic powder, nutritional yeast, and then turmeric to give it a little bit of color and make it look a little bit closer to egg salad and mayonnaise.
So it's all just beat together with a fork or something?
Yeah. And the recipe that I started with, she puts some of it in a food processor and sort of processes half of it. And that's just too much trouble. I just mash it with a fork until it's as, you know, smooth and integrated as possible. And it's delicious. And the reason it's kind of on the forefront of my mind is that they changed the packaging in Portland. And so now it used to be sold in like a 16-ounce tub or a 15-ounce tub. And now it's like 12 ounces and the price is the same. And so my mom is frustrated. It's part of her like weekly grocery shopping. She always has it around. She eats it for breakfast on toast at least twice a week. And so she's thinking about starting to make it herself too, because it's just gotten so expensive. And, you know, the primary thing is high quality tofu. You can buy a block of high quality tofu for a lot less than it costs. And, you know, the celery and, you know, mayonnaise and stuff is marginal. But basically all I do is I chop the vegetables as finely as possible. So like chop the parsley, chop the celery as, you know, into tiny little morsels. And I do like to drain the tofu a little bit. You want to get as much moisture out of it. So I just put it on a plate with a kitchen towel underneath and then another towel on top and then another plate with a can on top to weigh it down for 15 or 20 minutes before I make it. And then once it's kind of drained a little bit, both towels are saturated, I crumble it into the bowl, add the vegetables, add the dried minced onion. And if you're not familiar with that product, I get it at Costco. It's just a canister of basically big onion flakes, dried onion flakes. And what I like about it is it adds all the sweetness of onion and the kind of savoriness without adding that eye-watering nature that some onions have. It'd probably be really great with fresh shallot. I just haven't had that around when I've made it in the past. A little bit of garlic powder. Oh, it also has some like dry prepared mustard in it, and turmeric. Her recipe online calls for cayenne, and I always skip that. And then I don't salt until the very end, and then mayonnaise. Mayonnaise to bind. I've made it with both conventional mayonnaise and vegan mayonnaise. It's all good. But I don't salt until everything is incorporated. It's had a chance to sit, and I've tasted it, because mayonnaise can be salty. And so if you salt and add mayonnaise, depending on the kinds you're using, it can be overly salty. And so I always add salt at the very end if it needs it, because I don't want it to be overpoweringly salty. And that's it. And it's delicious. I love it. I just like my mother, I'll eat it on a piece of toast for breakfast. It's great for lunch. It's good for an afternoon snack. It's just one of those things that it's a comfort food for me because I've eaten it my whole life. And it's just easy. I can even get the boys to eat it. So
Does Scott eat it?
No, he's not interested.
He might be. Good to me.
He tasted it, but you know, it's just kind of like, and he likes tofu. It's just not really on his radar. I should try to put it on his radar because he might like it.
It reminds me, I'm thinking about the time we had our Joy of Cooking potluck and I made an eggless egg salad that was based on their egg salad with tofu. They were good times.
Yeah, I miss those.
I haven't done that in forever. I haven't made a tofu-based egg salad in a really long time.
It's so good. It's just...
I should have done it in the summer because I like an egg salad sandwich with a nice tomato slice on it.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I like to top it with cucumber slices if I'm just having like an open-faced piece of toast.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Good stuff. We've been going through a lot of tofu around here, as you can well imagine. But so, yeah, I got to add that to the list.
Yeah, you should do it.
For the reminder.
Of course.
I've never really done it this way. I like to put like relish and stuff in my tofu egg salad, but I should give it a try your way.
I mean, I'm sure that your tofu egg salad is delicious too. This is just trying to replicate a specific taste memory.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully you'll get back to Portland at some point and remind yourself of that this year.
I know. My mom was actually going to send me some, but because of the vaccine, there's a dry ice shortage.
That makes sense.
Yeah. She can't even ship it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this whole episode has sort of turned into a tips for Veganuary, but that's, I wanted to talk about that today because here we are, first week of January. A lot of people are into going vegan for the month of January. There's the whole Veganuary movement, which started in 2014. And I looked at their website. I have done it in past years, and they have inspired and supported more than 1 million people in 192 countries to try being vegan for January. So I thought now I've had, you know, kind of a lot of experience and I wanted to share some tips.
Yeah,
Have you ever done a Veganuary?
I haven't. I'm not good at like a monthly food challenge or it just doesn't – I start to rebel against it even though it's something I chose for myself. And so I've known myself – I know myself well enough now to say I can just – it's better for me if I don't try to put constraints.
Yeah, and this doesn't really apply to you. You already eat tons of vegan and vegetarian meals, but I think what I've heard from other people that have no intention of like becoming permanently vegan, if they do this challenge, they learn.
Yeah.
They like add new things to their repertoire, so when it's done, they just have more things in their toolbox of plant-based meals so that they can, you know, just basically eat more vegetables and eat less meat, which I think is a goal for most people, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so the first thing I would recommend is you sign up for the challenge at veganuary.com, and I'll have it in the link to the show notes. It's not too late here on the first Wednesday in January. Another thing I would suggest is to watch or rewatch the major vegan documentaries, which in my view are Forks Over Knives, What the Health, and Game Changers. Have you seen these?
I watched Forks Over Knives when it first came out, but I haven't seen the other two.
Oh, they're pretty good. I always tell people to watch them. Now, I mean, here's the thing. Nutrition research is, it all disagrees with itself, right? So like, just by the very nature of assembling a documentary, you are cherry picking your studies and your information. And they definitely do, you know? However, if you're into psyching yourself up for like being excited about eating vegan, I could not recommend them more. They do have lots of good, solid information in them. And plus they're entertaining, if you ask me. And for the people that love information and reading and stuff, the big book, I would say, of vegan scholarship is the China Study, which is like a landmark research project that demonstrated a lot of the benefits of eating vegan. And of course, I have the mindset here that anybody that wants to do this is interested in their health. Of course, there's plenty of other reasons, environmental reasons, animal rights reasons. So those are also good reasons. Okay, some nitty-gritty tips. And this actually goes for even if you're just trying to reset. I think people should do some batch cooking on the weekend so that you have things ready to go. And again, like whether you're just trying to like eat healthier for the month or the new year, or you're going vegan for January, it's a good idea to make up a big pot of beans, a batch of whole grains. I know, Marisa, you enjoy make-ahead oatmeal that you can then reheat in the morning.
Yes, absolutely.
I like that, too. My husband will not have reheated oatmeal for some reason, but that's a good one. A couple trays of roasted vegetables, a block of baked or dry fried tofu, some sauces you like, one or two, and hummus. Those are a lot of mine, my main make ahead things for the weekend. So yeah, you don't have to do all that stuff, but just one or two will put you in a better place than if you don't have anything. And I'm going to include a link here in the show notes for today to my aforementioned plant-based inspo Pinterest board. So check it out and see if you are inspired by any of those recipes the way I have been. Get a buddy. I think there's something to be said for having a support buddy when you're doing a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nobody's going to restaurants right now, but inform yourself of what your local vegan takeout options are. That can help you over a hump, you know, if you like just can't cook or you just need, you know, somebody else to cook.
Yeah. And we have great ones here in Philadelphia.
Oh, we do. We definitely do. And then, of course, like I think a lot of people go into this thinking that they're just going to live the entire month on quinoa, tofu and kale. That does not work. You need to have some treats. The world is full of vegan treats. Get a pint of vegan ice cream, you know, there's tons of chips and crackers, like salsa and tortilla chips, or, you know, get stuff to make guacamole. Don't buy a couple of vegan cheeses. Like, don't think that you're just going to be like the purest eater on the planet because you're avoiding animal products for the month. So that's my two cents on Veganuary. What do you think? Did I miss anything?
The only other thing I would suggest is, you know, get a bunch of nuts if your body can handle them, because they're such a great snack. Make sure you have make some like a trail mix with dried fruit or, roast them up with some spices, do something, because they're really satiating. And in the times when I have done kind of, challenges like this, I've never succeeded, but when I have done well at them for a while, having those kind of satiating snacks really helps too.
Yeah. When you cut out animal food, you are cutting out lots of fat and you need to replace it, you know, and it's hard to do better than nuts in terms of healthy fats.
And remember too, that if you're not eating animal products, it's okay to splurge on things like fancy nuts, because, you know, they are expensive, but they're not as expensive as like a couple pounds of meat. So,
so true. So true. Yeah. You'll probably save money if you go vegan for the month. Yeah, so I guess like the other thing I would say is, if you have questions, if you're going to try to do this yourself, just, you can, of course, message me on Instagram at Joy Manning, or drop me an email at joy@localmouthful.com. And I am happy to give you advice or like answer any questions. I've been at this a while now. And I really think that even if you have no plans to switch to a plant-based diet, you can really learn a lot about cooking, about yourself, and just add new stuff to your repertoire by giving it a try.
Yeah, I think it's great.
So, yeah, that's my whole Veganuary public service announcement. are we ready to throw some love on 2021?
Yeah, absolutely.
The South Philly Food Co-op has opened.
I'm so excited. I'm sure you've gone. I have
twice.
Not- I haven't left sort of my neighborhood, but I am dying to get down there. Tell us all about it.
It's smaller than I would have expected, I thought, but very well stocked. There's a lot of great stuff there. They will have a bulk food section, but nobody's doing bulk food right now. They have a great selection of stuff for special diets, not just vegan stuff, but gluten-free stuff. The produce section was what I was most impressed with. They have a lot of produce for a little store. I was like, I bought two kinds of herbs. It was super exciting for me to go. And the prices are good. Like, I think each time I went, I spent only around $30.
Wow.
It's like a heavy bag full of stuff. So, yeah.
That's
I, good prices on like lemons, like organic lemons. Yeah, I did sort of splurge. I got vegan corn dogs for New Year's Eve because I wanted to have like a little something fun, little mini vegan corn dogs. And they were expensive, but rice, you know, canned tomatoes, like all that stuff is much less pricey than you might think for a food co-op. And they really, of course, because they opened during the pandemic, they have all the precautions, the plexiglass, the markings on the floor. Only, I think they're only allowed to have 12 shoppers in there at a time.
Wow. Did you have to wait in line?
They're starting delivery. No, neither time, actually. But I kind of went on the early side. Mm-hmm. I didn't go at what I think of as like busy market times. And I also think, like, again, you and I have a distorted perspective because we just think about food and cooking all the time. But I think a lot of people don't know it's open yet.
Yeah, it could be.
I was really wishing for Baba's Brew to toast the new year. And they have Baba's Brew as a purveyor on their site, but they did not have Baba's Brew on the premises when I was shopping. So that's something I'm going to be, well, a coming attraction. I'll look forward to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they're going to start doing curbside pickup, which I would super love because I am a little anxious about being indoors, even at a supermarket. You know, we're not out of the woods at all in terms of COVID. No. Dan actually said to me yesterday, you can't go to the South Philly Co-op all the time. And I was like, do you think once a week is too much? And maybe it is. I don't know. But
well, I mean, you also, you have to balance it. You have to eat, you have to be careful. And so finding the happy medium is certainly, you know, what we're all striving for.
And it was the holidays and Philly Foodworks didn't deliver last week.
Yeah.
So we needed stuff.
Yeah, you got to eat. Do you feel like it fills the gap in your grocery shopping? I mean, I know that you've, for the longest time now, you've really been looking for a replacement for Whole Foods since Whole Foods got terrible for you. Do you feel like this could be it?
Not really. They don't have everything. They don't.
Okay.
I mean, not that Whole Foods has everything, but they don't have. I really wanted like flour tortillas for burritos. No luck. Corn tortillas for tacos. They don't have those. You know, I can't, there were some other things that like sweet and shredded coconut they didn't have. And no store can have everything, but there are certainly some things that I was looking for that they just didn't have.
Well, you should make a list and let them know because they're a local store. I bet they'd be responsive to suggestions.
Yeah. What else was on my list that they didn't have? Since I have it right here, I'll take a peek. They didn't have sweet potatoes. They didn't have Frika, which I guess like, that's a very specialty item.
Yeah, but you know, they're supposed to be sort of a natural food store. I would expect them to have that maybe.
They didn't have phyllo. This is not going, it's awesome. I'm super excited to have it, but it's not going to be like my one-stop shop
for
things because it just can't be. And that's okay. Like I've been, as you know, we've been ordering tons of like supplies online. I can still go to Acme to get my big flour tortillas for burritos, which I'm obsessed with now. I don't, you know, it's really a good way to eat a lot of beans. Like if you have beans if you just make a pot of beans on the weekend and then you have a bag of 10-inch flour tortillas, you can have burritos for lunch every day and you're set. So that's what I'm loving.
Excellent. Awesome. I can't wait to get down there.
We have one more minute. It's New Year's Day. So I just want to ask what you're making for dinner.
To be perfectly honest, yes. We are eating leftover soup tonight because I made a big batch of soup on the 30th and it needs to be eaten. So we're going to eat it and then we're going to do noodles tomorrow.
Okay. Allowed. I did noodles last night and tonight I'm doing black eyed peas, but I changed my mind again and I went back to the Marcus Samuelson Ethiopian spiced black eyed peas, which I love.
Awesome.
So come by and tell us what you all made to bring in 2021. We're so glad to be here with you in this new year.
Yeah. Happy New Year, friends. May 2021 be gentle.
Amen to that.
All right. Well, I think that's about it for this episode of Local Mouthful. Our thanks go out to Dan Call for editing the show, to Saul Rosenbaum for designing our logo, and to Raina Rose for providing the music. And thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe via iTunes or your favorite podcasting app. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Local Mouthful. Sign up for our newsletter, catch up on past episodes, and check out our show notes at localmouthful.com. Until next time, happy eating.